You cannot afford to weaken your mental or physical powers, lest you become unable to discern spiritual things. Keep your mind in such a condition that God can impress it with the precious truths of His Word. CD 168.4, Question of Moral Courage, 1872, T374-63. Some of you feel as though you would like to have somebody tell you how much to eat. This is not the way it should be. We are to act from a moral and religious standpoint. We are to be temperate in all things, because an incorruptible crown, a heavenly treasure, is before us. And 169, Now I wish to say to my brethren and sisters, I would have moral courage to take my position and to govern myself. I would not want to put that on someone else. You eat too much and then you are sorry, and so you keep thinking upon what you eat and drink. Just eat that which is for the best and go right away, feeling clear in the sight of heaven, and not having remorse of conscience. We do not believe in removing temptations entirely away from either children or grown persons. We all have a warfare before us, and must stand in a position to resist the temptations of Satan, and we want to know that we possess the power in ourselves to do this. CD 168.5, Letter 324, 1905-264. I am given a message to give to you. Eat at regular periods. By wrong habits of eating, you are preparing yourself for future suffering. It is not always safe to comply with invitations to meals, even though given by your brethren and friends, who wish to lavish upon you many kinds of food. You know that you can eat two or three kinds of food at a meal without injury to your digestive organs. When you are invited out to a meal, shun the many varieties of food that those who have invited you set before you. This you must do if you would be a faithful sentinel. When food is placed before us, which, if eaten, would cause the digestive organs hours of hard work, we must not, if we eat this food, blame those who set it before us for the result. God expects us to decide for ourselves to eat that food only which will not cause suffering to the digestive organs. The body to be servant to the mind, negative 35, early education of the appetite, negative 346, 353, appetite to be denied with interest and zeal, negative 65, prayer for healing by the intemperate, negative 29, effects of indulgence on influence and foolish, negative 70, to CD 169.1, victory through Christ, 1890, CTBH 19-265. Christ fought the battle upon the point of appetite, and came off victorious, and we also can conquer through strength derived from Him. Who will enter in through the 170 gates into the city? Not those who declare that they cannot break the force of appetite. Christ has resisted the power of him who would hold us in bondage. Awakened by his long fast of 40 days, he withstood temptation, and proved by this act that our cases are not hopeless. I know that we cannot obtain the victory alone, and how thankful we should be that we have a living Savior, who is ready and willing to aid us. CD 169.2, 1905, MH 176-66. A pure and noble life, a life of victory over appetite and lust, is possible to everyone who will unite his weak, wavering human will to the omnipotent, unwavering will of God. CD 170.1, Content Chap. 9, Regularity in Eating, Part I- Number of Meals Rest Needed by the Stomach, Letter 73A, 1896-276. The stomach must have careful attention. It must not be kept in continual operation. Give this misused and much abused organ some peace and quiet and rest. After the stomach has done its work for one meal, do not crowd more work upon it before it has had a chance to rest and before a sufficient supply of gastric juice is provided by nature to care for more food. 5 hours at least should elapse between each meal, and always bear in mind that if you would give it a trial, you would find that 2 meals are better than 3. CD 173.1, Eat a Substantial Breakfast, Letter 3, 1884-268. It is the custom and order of society to take a slight breakfast. But this is not the best way to treat the stomach. At breakfast time the stomach is in a better condition to take care of more food than at the second or third meal of the day. The habit of eating a sparing breakfast and a large dinner is wrong. Make your breakfast correspond more nearly to the heartiest meal of the day. CV 173.28 Suppers 1905 MH 304-69. For persons of sedentary habits, late suppers are particularly harmful. With them, the disturbance created is often the beginning of disease that ends in death. CV 173.3 In many cases, the faintness that leads to a desire for food is felt because the digestive organs have been too severely taxed during the day. After disposing of one meal, the digestive organs need rest. At least 5 or 6 hours should 174 intervene between the meals, and most persons who give the plan a trial will find that 2 meals a day are better than 3. CV 173.4 1865 H2L, Chapter 1, pages 55-57 270. Many indulge in the pernicious habit of eating just before sleeping hours. They may have taken 3 regular meals, yet because they feel a sense of faintness, as though hungry, will eat a lunch or 4th meal. By indulging this wrong practice, it has become a habit, and they feel as though they could not sleep without taking a lunch before retiring. In many cases, the cause of this faintness is because the digestive organs have been already too severely taxed through the day in disposing of unwholesome food forced upon the stomach too frequently, and into great quantities. The digestive organs thus taxed become weary, and need a period of entire rest from labor to recover their exhausted energies. A second meal should never be eaten until the stomach has had time to rest from the labor of digesting the preceding meal. If a third meal be eaten at all, it should be light, and several hours before going to bed. CV 174.1 But with many, the poor, tired stomach may complain of weariness in vain. More food is forced upon it, which sets the digestive organs in motion, again to perform the same round of labor through the sleeping hours. The sleep of such is generally disturbed with unpleasant dreams, and in the morning they awaken refreshed. There is a sense of languor and loss of appetite. A lack of energy is felt through the entire system. In a short time the digestive organs are worn out, for they have had no time to rest. These become miserable dyspeptics, and wonder what has made them so. The cause has brought the sure result. If this practice be indulged in a great length of time, the health will become seriously impaired. The blood becomes impure, the complexion sallow, and eruptions will frequently appear. You will often hear complaints from such, of frequent pains and soreness in the region of the stomach, and while performing labor, the stomach becomes so tired that they are obliged to desist from work, and rest. They seem to be at loss to 175 account for this state of things, for, setting this aside, they are apparently healthy. CV 174.2 The cause and cure of that all gone feeling those who are changing from 3 meals a day, to 2, will at first be troubled more or less with faintness, especially about the time they have been in the habit of eating their 3rd meal. But if they persevere for a short time, this faintness will disappear. CV 175.1 The stomach, when we lie down to rest, should have its work all done, that it may enjoy rest, as well as other portions of the body. The work of digestion should not be carried on through any period of the sleeping hours. After the stomach, which has been overtaxed, has performed its task, it becomes exhausted, which causes faintness. Here many are deceived, and think that it is the want of food which produces such feelings, and without giving the stomach time to rest, they take more food, which for the time removes the faintness. And the more the appetite is indulged, the more will be its clamors for gratification. This faintness is generally the result of meat eating, and eating frequently, and too much. The stomach becomes weary by being kept constantly at work, disposing of food not the most healthful. Having no time for rest, the digestive organs become enfeebled, hence the sense of goneness, and desire for frequent eating. The remedy such require, is to eat less frequently and less liberally, and be satisfied with plain, simple food, eating twice, or, at most, 3 times a day. The stomach must have its regular periods for labor and rest, hence eating irregularly and between meals, is a most pernicious violation of the laws of health. With regular habits, and proper food, the stomach will gradually recover. CB 175.2 RMH, May 8, 1883-271. The stomach may be so educated as to desire food 8 times a day, and feel famed if it is not supplied. But this is no argument in favor of so frequent eating. Awaking with impure breath and furred tongue, -245/176 CB 175.3. The Tamil Plan 1903, Education 205-72. In most cases, 2 meals a day are preferable to 3. Supper, when taken at an early hour, interferes with the digestion of the previous meal. When taken later, it is not itself digested before bedtime. Thus the stomach fails of securing proper rest. The sleep is disturbed, the brain and nerves are wearied, the appetite for breakfast is impaired, the whole system is unrefreshed, and is unready for the day's duties. To meal plan for children, -343/344 CB 176.1 1905 MH 3-1-73. The practice of eating but 2 meals a day is generally found a benefit to health. Yet under some circumstances, persons may require a third meal. This should, however, if taken at all, be very light, and the food most easily digested. Crackers-the English biscuit-or sweetback, and fruit, or cereal coffee, are the foods best sweet for the evening meal. CB 176.2 CTBH 5818 CH 156-74. Most people enjoy better health while eating 2 meals a day than 3. Others, under their existing circumstances, may require something to eat at supper time, but this meal should be very light. Let no one think himself a criterion for all, that everyone must do exactly as he does. CB 176.3 Never cheat the stomach out of that which health demands, and never abuse it by placing upon it a load which it should not bear. Cultivate self-control. Restrain appetite, keep it under the control of reason. Do not feel it necessary to load down your table with unhealthful food when you have visitors. The health of your family and the influence upon your children should be considered, as well as the habits and tastes of your guests. CB 176.4 1881 4T 574-75. To some it is a temptation too strong to be resisted to see others eat the third meal, and they imagine they are 177 hungry, when the feeling is not a call of the stomach for food, but a desire of the mind that has not been fortified with firm principle and discipline to self-denial. For context, see -260 CB 176.5 as a remedy for irritability, 1884-501-502-76. The course of Brother H has not been what it should have been. His likes and dislikes are very strong, and he has not kept his own feelings under the control of reason. Brother H, your health is greatly injured by overeating, and eating at improper times. This causes a determination of blood to the brain. The mind becomes confused, and you have not the proper control of yourself. You appear like a man whose mind is